Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, July 11th. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. The suspension of student loan payments allowed some borrowers to fill in gaps elsewhere in their personal finances for the past 3 years. But last month's Supreme Court decision striking down President Biden's debt cancellation plan puts them back on the hook.
Yeah, it kind of feels like a step back from being a full adult. You know, I was able to purchase a new car, start a business, and now I'm going to be limited again with this burdensome payment that I haven't been making for years.
We'll talk to one borrower with more than $20,000 in student debt about his plans to resume payments. Plus, we'll talk to WSJ personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker. That's after the break.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
For many student loan borrowers, the resumption of payments means having to work those payments back into their budgets. But for years, many of them had redirected that money to other areas of their finances. We'll talk with WSJ reporter Joe Pinsker about the big picture in a moment. But first, 30-year-old Texas resident and student loan borrower Trey Watson joins us. So, Trey, before the payments pause in 2020, what did your student loans look like and how much in monthly payments were you making?
Yeah, before the pause, I was making about $400 a month payments. It was minimum $285, I believe, but I paid the extra to try to get it paid off faster. I had $20,500 left when they paused them.
How'd you feel each month when you were making those payments?
It just was kind of dreaded, you know? This money could be going towards my future instead of my past.
So when the pause went into effect, how did that affect your finances?
Honestly, it was like a huge burden lifted. At the time, I was kind of burnt out with work, and not having that commitment, I was able to actually, you know, just quit my job during COVID and stay at home. I was my mom's caregiver at the time, so I couldn't be exposed. And it was just a nice relief to not have to worry about that one extra payment each month.
So what'd you do with that money?
So I started putting it aside first for an emergency savings fund. And then since I didn't have a job, I kind of wanted to start becoming self-employed or, you know, be able to keep the remote work thing after COVID. And so I started investing in my own little business where I do marketing on the side. Of course, I do have a full-time remote job, but I do work with a few organizations here and there on the side doing digital marketing for them. I was also able to save up a down payment for a new car. It was my first car that I purchased on my own. My previous one was a gift from my grandma to get me through college and such, and I had it for 10 years. So that was a nice relief and kind of my first big adult purchase I got to make after college.
Now, before President Biden proposed the loan forgiveness plan, were you putting any money away, you know, just in case the payments pause were to end?
Yes, I had been saving up a little bit of like a cushion, but not as much because I was being optimistic about it getting canceled. But I did put a little bit of emergency buffer aside in case it like suddenly started out of thin air. But as I see, they're probably going to do this on-ramp thing. So that gives me a nice window of time to start saving up some more.
Right. That's the 12-month program that'll prevent those who miss their payments from defaulting on their loans or having their credit adversely affected. What adjustments do you see you'll have to make in your finances?
Yeah, it kind of feels like a step back from being a full adult. You know, I was able to purchase a new car, start a business, and now I'm going to be limited again with this burdensome payment that I haven't been making for years.
Do you see it affecting your purchasing power or maybe the money you can put toward the business you have?
As far as like my personal spending, I definitely, you know, won't be able to treat myself as much, you know, maybe reduce the amount of trips I go on. Also, just general spending as well. Actually, I haven't really thought about that, I guess. I've just been thinking about like, I need to make the payment and not like what the impacts of that are, if I'm being totally honest. Because it's been such a roller coaster. You know, it's like this week it's canceled, next week it's not. Now we have a new plan. It's very back and forth.
That's Texas resident Trey Watson. Trey, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, JR. I appreciate you having me on.
Now let's bring in Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker. So Joe, we heard from Trey that having to pay off loans feels like he's kind of taking a step back in adulthood. How do his feelings compare to other borrowers you spoke with?
What I heard from other borrowers was both disappointment and also a general lack of surprise. The disappointment makes a lot of sense because if the plan had gone through, you know, there were about 20 million people who would have been eligible to have all of their debt wiped out. And for many people, this is a huge monthly burden that really seemed like there was a good chance it might go away. At the same time, people weren't exactly shocked that the plan didn't go through. Some of them were, of course, genuinely optimistic when President Biden announced the plan last summer. But because of the legal challenges and the current composition of the Supreme Court, they weren't really counting on it to actually go through.
Student debt payments have been on pause for about 3 years. What did borrowers do during that period?
Trey, who we heard from earlier, is a great example of this, and I spoke with others who similarly were able to reach some important financial milestones over the past 3 years. I've heard from people who were finally able to start building emergency savings, people who pulled together a down payment on a house after thinking that they never would have been able to get there. A monthly payment of hundreds of dollars can really add up over the course of 3 years, and for a lot of people, that really made a big difference. Some also took the payment pause, which was, of course, also a pause on the accumulation of interest, as an opportunity to pay down their student debt.
Now, you spoke to a couple of borrowers, and many borrowers haven't ever had to make payments on their loans. How are they now factoring these payments into their budgets?
Because this payment pause has gone on from the spring of 2020 to now, we've now seen several college classes graduate into a world where they don't have to make payments yet. A trade association called the Student Loan Servicing Alliance, their estimate was that 7 million people have either graduated or left school and haven't had to make a payment. You know, some of those first years out of college can be when people have the most difficulty financially. And many of those people, some of whom I talked to, are grateful to have had a little extra breathing room over the past couple of years. And in the fall, the idea of giving up that breathing room in their budgets is pretty concerning.
How will the Supreme Court's decision have a long-term impact on the lives of young people in this situation?
Having to make a debt payment every month, we know from existing research, can make a big difference in people's ability to reach certain financial milestones, like buying a home or saving for retirement. And as I've reported on before, this is especially crucial when people are young and making important decisions that will set them on certain life trajectories, whether it's about what career they pursue or whether they take a risk and start a business or where they live or whether they buy a house. These are important years during which people's trajectories are in some ways set, and whether they hold debt or not at that age ends up being really consequential.
That's Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker. And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/ITheroes.